Yeah, that's what I thought. Just ahead, on the men's prayer thing that I was talking about, I got a commitment from David Sanderson, said he would go Saturday morning. I guess he can get off Saturday morning, but I said, well, I'll take you, man. I'll get you in there whenever I can, however I can, but he's going to come along. He's never went Saturday morning. I'll try to run a promotional video for that here next Sunday. We'll run a little thing on that and get the guys to go, but it's a blessing, man, I'm telling you. Everybody's afraid get out of their little box, man. They're afraid to get out of their mold, break out of whatever they're in, you know, because if I do something different, it's just going to, you know, my whole life will be all messed up because I can't do everything the same. Gee whiz. I wonder how people get saved sometimes when it gets right down to it. Amen. They can't, they're afraid to make a move and do something different. John chapter 5, going to be, this will probably be a good companion message for the one I preached this morning. John chapter 5, and verse 1 there, give you a second to get there. We didn't get to get our notes and nothing straightened out today to get them on the thing for you, but that's okay. We'll get back on track next week, and should be hopefully. Let's pray these people that are sick get over being sick, and one's on vacation, things like that. John chapter 5, verse 1, and the Bible says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith to him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for our health that we have and our ability to be here tonight. And we ask you again to speak to us. I pray, as I did this morning, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be open to your word, Lord, to your leading, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that we can take some steps in our life to draw closer to you, Lord. So we'll ask you to work tonight in whatever need we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was trying to, sometimes I get a title for a message, and then during the course of doing my outline, I see, this would be a good title too. I get two and I can't decide which one I want to use. I called this one The Interrupted Life, which kind of went along with the statement I made this morning that Jesus Christ, you know, when we commit our life to him, that our life, you know, it is an interruption, so to speak, of our life, where when Christ comes into our life and he dictates every aspect of our relationship with him. And I spoke about that this morning. When we think about an interrupted life, though, and as I said this morning, looking at the new year, the new year's message. I've been pastoring here 20 years now, 20 years of new year's messages. And, you know, it just seems like yesterday that it was at the beginning of 2016 when I stood up here and said, okay, well, you know, for the new year, what are we going to do for the, you know, what are our plans, our goals, and, you know, everything for the new year? And at the end of every year, I always say, well, how did that come out? How did your plans and goals and all those type things work out at the end of the year? And, you know, a lot of times we talked about the resolutions and this and that people make, and we thought about this. The messages over the past 20 years revolved around the thought of having a better year this year. I started to title the message, as a matter of fact, this year. I was going to title that, you know, maybe we think, well, I'm going to draw closer to God this year. I'm going to do more for God this year. See, that way you could stick this on any year you wanted to, right? I mean, it would fit. I'm going to do more than that. You know, plans, we got prospects, we have ideas. But, you know, a lot of times what happens every year comes and goes, and maybe we don't get half done what we thought we might, or don't get the things done this year that we wanted to. And so we usually ask ourselves, like I say, time to evaluate, how much did we get done? What really changed in my life this year? And maybe for some of you, some things changed. Hope for the better that they did. But, you know, unfulfilled expectations. Did anybody ever get like the postpartum blues when Christmas is over with? Anybody ever get that? Kind of a little letdown? Yeah, like Christmas Day. You ever notice your Christmas tree just doesn't look the same after Christmas as it does before? It's just like something about it. I plug mine in all the way up to last night, you know, we plugged, but it's just not the same after Christmas comes and goes. You get those little things, and sometimes a year goes by, we think, well, the new year came, the old one. Every year somebody says this to me. Well, the new year's here. I hope it's a whole lot better than last year was. But a year before, somebody said the same thing about the year that was coming up. And then the year before, somebody said the same thing about that year that was coming up. I hope it's going to be a whole lot better. You know, what did we do this year? What really changed? How many unfulfilled expectations have we ever had? Those of you that have been around lots of New Year's. How many unfulfilled expectations do we have every year when... And you know what? Here it is. This is the first night of 2017. Lord doesn't come back. It'll seem like about 3.5 weeks. It'll be New Year's for 2018. It'll seem like 3.5 weeks. and you're going to remember this. I remember there. We were there at church and Pastor Boone said, and 2017 is going to be gone. Goes faster, 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 faster. You know, really... We're such procrastinators. That's why things don't get done. Huh? You know, like I said this morning, that old garage that needs cleaning out, how many years that go by doesn't get done, you know? You know what I'm saying? So it goes by really fast. We'll more than likely have some unfulfilled expectations. We don't have to have. We look in our text tonight at this man, this lame man, said he'd been lame 38 years. 38 years. Man, that's a long time. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say that he was down at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, that he laid there and waited for the moving of the water all that amount of time, but it said he'd been impotent, he'd been lame for 38 years. And I know that all those 38 years, I'm pretty sure if you had been where you couldn't walk for 38 years, you've been hoping that maybe this year is going to be the year that I'll be able to walk. And I would say that he had probably been laying down there. I mean, what else did he have to do? He was probably been laying down there at that pool of water for a long time, hoping that he could. He heard that when an angel moved the water, whoever got in there first would be healed. And so he was laid down there hoping that he could get to be the first one in. But you know what? You can't walk. You're not that fast. And he couldn't do it. So every year, year in, year out, he probably was thinking to himself, boy, you know, maybe this year is going to be the year that something is going to be different. But you know, when you think about it, 38 years for that guy, it wasn't different. I mean, his life was the same, year in, year out. I mean, he was pretty much a beggar. He had his bed. He laid around on his bed. Just people, you know, benevolence, taking care of him, whatever, year in, year out. And expectations gone every year. Nothing happened. You know, we're a lot like this guy here. Sometimes we have in life, we have expectations, we've got hopes, we hope things like those people that said, boy, I hope this year is going to be better than next year. And a lot of times for a lot of people, it's not. It's not any better, it's not any different, it may not be any worse, but it's not any better. And so, really, it's one of those things where nothing happens. I don't know about you, don't you get tired of nothing happening? Huh? I mean, I said a few weeks ago, I was preaching a message about, I said, you know, the reason we go on vacations and all that kind of crazy, because we just get tired of the monotony of life as it is, the day in, day out routine, so we go on vacation to break the monotony. And there's a lot of areas in life, church life, listen, you know, year in, year out, you know, we get down there every Sunday night, nothing happens, you know. I mean, you know, have some expectations that God's going to do something different this year. I do, but you know what? Hey, listen, it's the same way for me. I keep hoping, man, I keep preaching and thinking, man, somebody get on fire for God. I'll see some people just get on fire. And you can preach, boy, this is a good message. I get my message. And I preach and I think, boy, maybe tonight, we get down there tonight, you know, that it'll just be packed out and all them other people will come back that was here on Sunday morning. And year in, year out for 20 years, guess what? Every once in a while, somebody gets sideways, makes a wrong turn, something shows up, and you know, they're here. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, no expectations, nothing happening. We get tired of things not happening anywhere in life. But we think about this man here. He really, really, really way down inside, he wanted to be, it says, do you want to be made whole? It means, do you want to be made well? Do you want to get well? Well, yeah, you know, if you're sick, you can't walk, you got a problem. You know, he really wanted to be made well. That's why he was there. He was there physically. He wanted to be made well. And so a lot of times we think about ourselves. We're here preaching of the word. What do you want us to do? What do you want to happen tonight? I mean, do you want to be made what? You want to be made, you know, if you're not saved, you can be made whole. You know, you have to be saved to be whole or complete, Holy Spirit of God. Or if you're already saved, okay. Anybody living a perfect Christian life here? Just checking. Huh? All right, but what do you want? What do you want to happen? I mean, I got to assume that you want to be fed, you know, in a spiritual way. You want to be fed. You want to eat. I don't know about you. When I go home, I don't eat supper before I come out here on Sunday night. So I eat supper when I get home. When I get home, I'm going to get some supper. I'll be tearing off my suit fast as I can get it off, get some other clothes on, and, you know, get something to eat. That's why I'm there. You know, that's why I'm going to go. I'm going to go in the kitchen because that's why I'm there. I want to get something to eat. So we're here. You know, what do we want? He's there. He wants to get made well. He's there. But, you know, year in, year out, nothing happened. And, you know, I think, like I said, I've asked this question, and I know you guys. I mean, we all know each other well, and y'all are faithful. The ones here on Sunday night, backbone people of the church, and Wednesday nights is that way. And if I polled everybody on a poll here and asked you some questions, do you want to grow closer to the Lord this year? I think everybody's saying, well, yeah, you know, yeah, that's good. You know, do you want to grow spiritually, or maybe do you want to be used by God in a special way? You want a closer walk with the Lord? You want to pray more, read your Bible more? You want to be a better witness for Jesus? All those kind of questions right there. I mean, what are you going to say? You know, do you want to be a better witness for Jesus? No. Somebody, if there was some honest folks, listen, that box would get checked. If there was some people being honest, that box would get checked, right? Do you want to get closer to God and all that? You know, yeah, you know, we want to do those things right there. Like I said this morning, man, listen, you can have a dream without a plan, it's only a wish. And so if you want to do that, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do to have that take place? And so we know what would happen, but what's going to happen really this year? Is it going to end up just like last year? See, like I said, the lame man, he wanted to be made whole. He said, you know what, I want to be made whole, but I don't have anybody put me in the water. And before I get down there, somebody else gets in there ahead of me. He said, no man to help him. I thought about that just a little bit. Here's this guy. Now, I would say that one of the problems is that everybody that was kind of hanging around down there at the pool, and boy, we can really relate to that in this day and time, because you know how many sick people we got on our prayer list, right? If we got all the sick people we just got in this little old church down there at the pool, you wouldn't be able to get down there. I mean, it'd be three deep all the way back, right? I would imagine everybody that was hanging down around there at the pool, they wanted to get in the water first, right? And it's like, you know, sorry, bro. I mean, I hope you get whole, you know, whole, brother, but I'll tell you what, I need to get whole. And you know what? And I got to thinking about that. Here's the deal right here. You know, Jesus tells us as the Christians that we're to go out into the world, and we're supposed to be a light in the world, and that we're supposed to be a witness in the world, and that we're supposed to take the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the problem with the average Christian today is we got so many spiritual ailments ourselves that we're down at the pool saying, look out, buddy, I hope you get well. But I got to get in first because I got problems. And so I get in the well and you don't get in there. Because there's only one person in that case who get in there. And see, so what it is, we got so many issues ourselves, we can't help nobody else. And I was looking at this poor guy right here, man. Here he is. He can't walk. Now, everybody down there, you know, it's just like spirituality. Everybody's at a different place. And some people probably had ailments that weren't quite as bad as others. And this guy can't walk. And he said nobody would put him in the water. Now I wrote this down. You know, I don't know if this is a sad commentary on the coldness of mankind, or a commentary on putting our faith in the wrong place, because this guy kept trusting that somebody else would put him in the water, and it just didn't happen right there, right? And I mean, listen, it's, you know, people can help us out, and even in the Great Commission sense, I mean, Jesus is working through people for us to go help others that are lost get to Christ. I understand. And then at the same time, boy, having compassion, here's somebody, you know, we can even get selfish in spiritual things. We can get selfish in spiritual things. What do you got for me? What do you got for me? And we take in, we take in, we take in, we take in, we never take it out. We never give out the Word of God to others that need it. We're down here. Like, if you're saved here tonight and I'm preaching to you, and if I'm going to feed you, I would say the Word of God can feed us above beyond what we need. Or what are you going to do with the overflow? Huh? Or are you just going, what are you going to do with the overflow, you know, the extra? So, you know, we're supposed to take it out to the lost and dying world that's out there, right? And, you know, sometimes we even put tendency, we have a tendency to put faith in ourselves. And then we, not only can we let other people down, we're real good at letting ourselves down sometimes. You know, you ever do that? Don't you just disappoint yourself sometimes in life? Yes, we do. But you know what? This guy here, all those years, he didn't know it yet. But you know what? Guess what? This year was going to be different for this guy. And the only difference was Jesus showed up. Huh? This year was going to be different. And I'm telling you, man, when Jesus Christ gets a hold of you, I could just quit preaching a whole lot of stuff that I preach on. Huh? I could just forget about it. I wouldn't need to tell you nothing. I wouldn't have to tell you to go out and be a witness. I wouldn't tell you to have to tell you to love your brother or forgive your brother or be generous and read your Bible more and pray more and all. I wouldn't have to tell you none of that because you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You'd be doing those things. It'd just come out natural. And when Jesus shows up, what a difference it made. And Jesus told him three things, and these are the outline points tonight in verse 8. He said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. In other words, I'll put this this way. Get up, take up, and walk. Those are the three things Jesus told him to do. And I'm going to look at that first. Very first thing he said, rise. I'm going to use get up. He said, get up. When I was a kid, we didn't have all them video things, man, and phones, and, you know, we just didn't, you know. Man, I had a football in my hand 24/7. I was talking today. They were talking about the NFL football. It's made by Wilson. It's called a Wilson Duke. I got one for Christmas one year when I was probably like 13, 14 years old, man. I mean, back then, that cost $20 back then. That's like $120 now, you know. A Wilson Duke, man, it was the pride of the neighborhood. That's what we played football with. And we had footballs in our hand. We played football all the time. But I remember when we were real young and we were playing and we played tackle, man. We didn't play tag. We didn't wear helmets. We didn't worry about concussion protocol and all that stuff they worry about now. We just went out there and, you know, knocked each other around. And there was this boy in the neighborhood that, you know, what happened was the guy would be running with the ball, and the boy in the neighborhood, he would run and he would give a half-hearted attempt at tackling, kind of like some of the football teams you see in the pros, kind of make a half-hearted attempt at tackling. And when he saw that he couldn't get the guy, he would fall down every time. He would fall down like he tripped. And, oh, I just can't get to the guy, you know. And so what happened was, it looked like he was trying hard, but he really wasn't trying hard. He didn't put everything into it. And so to make it look like he was trying hard, see, he would, like, fall down and flop around on the ground until one of the neighborhood boys called him out on that. And he started calling him Fall Down Boy. Hey, Fall Down, there's old Fall Down Boy over there. We didn't cut each other no slack in our neighborhood. There's old Fall Down Boy. Well, after he started getting called Fall Down Boy, he quit doing that. He quit flopping around and acting like he had really gave everything, gave all the effort. You know, he needed somebody to call him out. And, you know, a lot of times, this is what happens in life. And it's particularly Christian life or spiritual life. We give a half-hearted effort at whatever it may be, you know, whatever you're goal, a half-hearted effort at serving God, a half-hearted effort at getting closer to God, a half-hearted effort at being the Christian that we ought to be. And then when we see like we can't, when we didn't give 100% effort, and so we're not gonna reach a goal or get to what we want to do, you know, make the tackle, so to speak, we fall down in life. We just fall down, and then we get the I can'ts. You know, this is probably the number one Christian phrase that you hear. I can't. What do you think about? Well, I can't. I just can't do it. I can't do it. And we fall down in life and we don't want to try anymore. Oh, I just can't. I just can't. And then we wonder why things stay the same. You know, this guy here was kind of like that. He said, I just can't get down there. I can't get down into the pool. And we stay down like that in life a lot of times. But Jesus comes up to the guy and he says, listen, I'm not asking you how it's going to get done. I'm just asking you, do you want it? He said, do you want to be made whole? And see, the lame man, he's thinking in one, you know he's a man, because man, you know the waffle spaghetti thing, right? You know he's a man. He's got a one-track mind. I can't because, I want to be made whole, but before I get in the water, somebody else gets in there for when the water moves, somebody else gets in there for me. I say, tunnel vision. That's the way men are. We get compartmentalized everything. Jesus didn't ask him nothing about getting in the water. He just said, do you want to be made whole? In other words, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and he knew it. He knew that. But this guy's just thinking, the only way that I'm going to get healed is getting this pool right here. And he says, you know what? He says, do you want to be made whole? He said, yeah. You know what Jesus said? Get up. Like, well, fall down, boy. Get up. Get up. Quit falling down. Just get up. And you know what he says? He's saying in his mind, I can't do this. But Jesus says, rise up and take thy bed and walk. What Jesus, I know it doesn't come out that way in the text, but really in his mind, what he had to be thinking, I can't do it. Then he tried, of course. This is what we do a lot of times. We say, I can't. But listen, when Jesus is here, we can't. And you know what? All that other time, I don't know what, you know, you wonder about this. I wonder if every day, first thing in the morning, and I doubt it, this guy been lame, couldn't walk for 38 years. I wonder if every day, first thing in the morning, he thought, let me give this a try, you know, and see if I can walk. Or had he just caved in to thinking, I can't walk, so I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to check it out and see. I mean, you never know. It might have been the first time anybody came along, and I'm not saying that he could have. And I know that Jesus worked a miracle here. I'm just saying, though, how many times we won't try nothing because we failed in the past or we didn't get nothing done in the past. But listen, Jesus is here too, right? He's in our heart. He's in this church. He said, we're two or three gathered in my name. He's here. Why do Christians always say, I can't? I can't get up there and speak in front of all them people. I can't pray if you call on me to pray. I just can't pray. I can't even pray with your wife. Huh? You jaw her head off about everything else and you can't take your hand, wife by the hand. I just can't, preacher. I just can't. You lame? Sometimes we use that in a derogatory sense. Sometimes we use, huh? Are you, you know, Jesus is here, right? Listen, honestly, you know, I didn't wake up in my mother's womb, pop out, jump up on a soapbox, get behind a pulpit, and say, you know what, I'm going to be a preacher, standing there in my diapers, whatever, and I'm going to be a preacher and I can preach. No. I didn't. First time I ever preached a message, man, you can't talk about this loud, right? The whole message. I got a cassette. You got to put it in the thing, turn it up all the way, and it's still, I'm talking about this loud, right? That's about how it works. It's, you can't hear it, huh? But see, as Jesus said, this guy, he's on the scene. You know, and so what he says, you know, to say, do you want this year to be different than last year spiritually? I said this before, in other years, listen, I don't want to pastor a dead church. I don't want to pastor an indifferent church, a cold church, the loud to see in church. I don't want to pastor one of them churches. Yeah, I want this year to be different. I want us to get well spiritually. Get out of the rut, get out the victory over complacency. If I ask you all this stuff again, this goes on the other question list. Do you want to get out of complacency? Do you want to be get out of the rut that you're in spiritually? Don't you want it? Wouldn't it be better if you came in all full of joy, full of the Holy Spirit, man? You was on fire for God. You got down here and you was singing at the top of your lungs. Wouldn't that be better than coming in and just dragging yourself down here when you didn't want to come to start with, making yourself go, sitting through another torturous sermon? Huh? Wouldn't it be better if he was on fire for God, all excited for the things of God? Well, okay. So your answer is going to be the same. You're going to check the box that says, oh yeah, I want to grow spiritually and I want to get out of the rut and I don't want to be complacent and I don't want to be indifferent. All right, well, get up. Get up. What are you going to do different? You going to do the same thing? Y'all sitting in the same seats. What are you going to do something different this year than you did? Except for Randy's over there shaking his head. No. Huh? You going to do something? He got farther away, though. You notice that. He done backslid. He usually sits up here in the front. Now he done slid. He going to do things different. He's sliding to the back. You going to do something different? What? What are you going to do? Huh? Get up. How do you get up? Same thing, the same answer to the question I gave you this morning, the scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ, His Word, read it. Start this year. I got it. Try this. How many of you read your Bible every day? How many of you read your Bible every day in the morning? How many of you read it every day at night also? Well, all right, not very many. Thor Sand does. I know Sherry does. I don't read it at night either all the time. You know what? I got an idea. Hey, why don't we start reading a little bit before we go to bed? Right before you go in, just read a couple of verses. Maybe one little chapter. Just lay it in there. How about why don't we try that? There's one pastor that does a little test about reading. Try reading. Let's see. Let's do a test this year. Okay, this is the 1st of January. Y'all start reading tonight. Just read, maybe one chapter. I think we can get that done before we fall asleep, right? Before you go to bed tonight, everybody here, let's just read one chapter every night. Let's do it for a month, and let's see. At the end of the month, I'll bring a quiz. Ask y'all, is anything different in your life since you started doing that? How does it go? Maybe your dreams will be different. Maybe you dream about different things than you dreamed about normally, right? Let's try it. How many of you want to do it? Let's do it. How many of you say, I'm going to start reading. Just read a little bit at night before I go to bed. If you can't read, read three verses. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We'll use the number three. I don't think there's any magic in that, but the number. Let's just say I'm going to read three verses at least, and if Lord leading, I'll go all the way to the end of the chapter, if the chapter's not too long. Mark it down. Let's try it. Let's just try it for a month. At the end of 30 days, I'll forget. You know I will. At the end of 30 days, I'm not going to remember this. At the end of 30 days, say, hey, Pastor, remember when we was all supposed to read the Bible tonight before we went to bed? Let's ask everybody, say, has it made any difference in your life, in your spiritual life? See if maybe if you just moved this much closer to Jesus, wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be? Let's try that. Look, let's try it. Let's do that. Get in the Scriptures. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came for us. He gave His Word for us to help us get up. That's what it was about, to help us get up. Here's something that'll help us, the Word of God. And yet, we don't read it like we should, do we? Huh? We don't meditate on the Word of God. It's not really how much you read either. Oh, well, I read 10 chapters and brother so-and-so only read 5, and therefore I'm a lot more spiritual than they are. No, you could just read one verse if you meditated on it in your mind. If it really stuck in your mind, you think about it. That'll help you a lot of times. God gave us His Word. Jesus came to this earth to help us. He gave us His Word, and then He sent the Holy Spirit to help us, because He loves us. He wants us to do better. He wants us to live a full life now. God's not up there like withdrawing or withholding everything that's good and wants us to enjoy life. Listen, we can enjoy life, the Word of God. We got it right here. He said, listen, I got this for you. It's good. It's good stuff, because I did it because I love you. So, enjoy it. Enjoy that. Helps us live life. You know what? Jesus loved that lame man. He loves us just as much. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that Jesus loves us. All these people in the Bible that he did great things for, he doesn't love them anymore. He loved us. And He loves us. We have to understand that in our life, though, really, to live the life like that. If we're going to impact the world, if we're going to have an impact on our families, mom and dad, your children, I don't care how old your children are, how old you are, if you're going to have an impact on your children, you got to believe this with all your heart. You got to live it with all your heart. It just won't. And if you're gonna win others to Christ and make a difference wherever your little sphere is in the world that you live in, you have to. If we're gonna effectively convey that message to anybody else, we have to really understand that God came down so that we can get up. The second thing He said, take up thy bed, pick it up, take up thy bed. The bed represents where He was. He laid on that bed day in, day out. This is one of them guys, when you saw the lame man, you saw the bed. You separate the two. I had a neighbor, man, a guy drank beer all the time. I cannot in my life picture him not standing here like this. Let me give you the side view. Every 24 hours a day, 9 o'clock in the morning, he was out in the yard like this. Every time you saw him, he was either like this or like this. Had a thing, I cannot separate him from a can of beer. It's just the way it is. He died of leukemia. Constantly, but you couldn't separate the two. This lame man, he had his bed. And you can't separate the man. Nobody in that day could. They knew him. You saw the man. You saw the bed. because that's where he was at. And this is what I want you to see here. It represents for us the old mindset that bed does. The old I can'ts. You know, we get the I can'ts. Like I said, we can't do anything. Those old habits, those the old mindset, the old life. It could be things like rituals, you know, like being set in our ways about certain things, about how much we're going to give God, even as a Christian. It's some kind of a crutch, maybe whatever you depended on or trusted in, clung to before Jesus Christ came into your life. And look, even after Jesus Christ came into your life, sometimes we still got some other crutch that we have that we cling to and hold on to. It's that thing, you know, like old Linus on the Charlie Brown things. He always had that old blanket with him. They said, Linus, what are you going to do with that blanket when you grow up? He said, I'm going to have it made into a suit. You know, he ain't giving that blanket up. He said, so we got the blanket. You know, we cling to that. It's something that we're always holding on to. Sometimes life itself is kind of a crutch. You know, I notice this. We get this from people, you know, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And you know, man, I want to draw closer to the Lord and I want to serve God and I want to do things like that in this year that's coming up. But man, preacher, I got a guy right here. Listen, it's a sad state of affairs. Talk to him about the Lord. Not in church. Says he's saved. And I said, listen, man, well, you know, well, you need to get in church because, you know, Jesus established the church for us to help. We can all help one another. You could be a blessing to us somehow. Maybe we can be a blessing to you. And, you know, you got your gifts and talents if you saved, God gave you. And you can be there at church. Well, I tell you, man, when I retire, you got four years or something, maybe. You know, when I retire, I'm going to get in church. Man, you know what that's like saying? Well, Jesus, you know, right now I just don't have time for you because I'm busy with my life. But as soon as I'm getting done not being busy with my life or as busy with my life, you know, I think I'll give you some time. Now, he's not saying it that way, but that's what he's saying. Amen. That's really what he's saying. I just don't have time. And I told him, I said, well, man, I sure hope you live that long. You know, no guarantees, right? I hope you live that long, but you can get on down there and you know, but just it's the thought. So sometimes life itself is the crutch that we lean on for not doing anything for God because we're busy doing this. You know, that man thought that he had to get in the water to be made whole. But you know, you ever notice this? Jesus didn't even talk about the water. He said, you want to be made whole? Well, yeah, but I just can't get in the water. I ain't asking you if you can get in the water. I want to know if you want to be made whole. Yeah, I want to be made whole. Okay, get up and walk. Man, you can do it. I'm here. Don't worry about the water. He had this thought to process that he's got to get in the water somehow. And you know what? Think about so many things in life that we think we have to have. Oh, I just got to do this, preacher. I just got to do it. I can't do nothing for God because I have got to do this. Like that's the most important thing. Whatever it is so important that keeps everybody from coming back to churches on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights for those nighttime. I just got to get my rest. Like rest is more important than being fed from the Word of God. I've got to go and I got to watch football. I got to go to work. You know, I got to do all these other things with the family, this and that and the other thing. It's not life and death matters. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying sometimes there's some things. But it's the crutch that we use to keep us from I can't do this thing because I got this crutch I got to lean on, you know, so I can't do other things. We got them. This man had his bed. He said, take up thy bed. Take it up. You know what? Around here, you got it. You know what kudzu is? Anybody know what kudzu is? Y'all got that in West Virginia, right? Kudzu. Huh? Riding down the highway, you come in a little place along the side of the road, and there's this plant that grows all over everything. It like grows over top of the trees. It's usually around where they cut banks because years ago, the state people brought it in and they planted it on steep banks. I know you ain't got none in West Virginia. They put them steep banks alongside the road, and then it was going to keep it from erosion. It was erosion protection. What happened was the thing got nuts. And so sometimes you ride along and you see it in big areas. It's done gone up all over top of the trees. That's kudzu. It's a real invasive plant. Now they found out, hey, man, we can't slow it down. We shouldn't have planted this. And now the states are trying to kill the stuff off right there. But what happens is it kills off. It doesn't really choke the other plants. It's called interference competition. It kills the other plants, the trees, by blocking the light that gets to those plants, and they end up dying. And it'll kill 50-foot, 60-foot oak trees. It'll get on top of them. It'll kill them things. Drive them on it. But think about that. Interference competition. You could do a whole message on that title right there, couldn't you? Interference competition. It kills, it blocks the light. Y'all getting this? Huh? You got the wheels turning? In life, we got interference competition that's blocking the light. That we can't, it's that crutch that we've been laying on all these years that we got dragging around with us. It's blocking the light of God's Word that's helping us break through. It is good. That's good, right? Day-to-day living. A lot of times, day-to-day living in what we think we got to do is killing off, the Christian definition, I gave it to my church, the class on Wednesday night, I don't know if I did it on Sunday, but you know, when our whole purpose, Christian, our whole purpose in life is to glorify God. That's it. That's the only thing you got to do. The only thing you've got to do, our whole purpose in life as a Christian is to glorify God. Not that I got to do all this other stuff. Not that you can't glorify God in some of that other stuff. But not to the neglect of the necessities, the essential things. And then the last thing he said, listen, walk. Pick it up. You know what he said? Walk. I want you to. It's funny. I thought about this. He didn't say, look. Maybe he was thinking about litter. I don't know. Jesus didn't say, get up and walk and just leave your bed laying there. Like I said, maybe litter conscious. He said, get up, take your bed up and walk. And I think the reason is this, that he did that. Because like I said, everybody knew that that man was associated with that bed. They might have recognized the bed before they recognized him. I mean, it was attached to him, right? He said, now instead of that bed carrying you, I want you to take that bed and walk around and let people see you. Because right away, people are going to say, that's that guy. That's that guy that had been laying down there all them years, down there at that pool. He hadn't been able to walk. I remember that. Somebody probably said, hey, you can really walk all the time, and now we caught you. They're going to accuse him of lying, right? Getting money under false pretense. No, what he wanted was, listen, I want you to show yourself a testimony. Something's different in your life, and people need to see that. I think that's a testimony. See, that's what God wants us to do. Listen, he wants us to say, you might have had some crutch in your life somewhere along the way, some other type of thing, maybe something like alcoholism, drug abuse, or something like that, and then you got healed from it. Listen, Jesus isn't saying, look, take the dope with you wherever you go, carry it around, or take, but you know what? Get around, get up and walk, and let people say, hey, you know what? I got the victory over all that stuff. Here's the bed. Now I'm carrying the bed. The bed's not carrying me. I got the victory over that. And you know what happens when he started to walk? I believe when Jesus made people whole, I believe they were really whole. But, you know, he started to use his muscles more and they started to grow. This probably doesn't apply, but I'm going to use it for a point. You know what happens when we start getting in the Word of God? You know what's going to happen until you start reading a little bit of Scripture every night before you go to bed? You're going to grow spiritually. Your spiritual muscles are going to develop just a little bit. It's going to help me too. It's going to help you. I'm real bad about watching TV until... And then I'm in... And then what happens? I look at the TV. And then it's like I need to put wood in the stove and I got to turn all the lights on. And I just don't feel like doing it. And I go get the wood and I put it in and then I go get in bed and then I can't sleep. Because I done woke myself up, see? So what it is, I'm so tired, I'm bad about not reading my Bible at the last. But I'm going to make myself do it. My spiritual muscles will grow too. And this guy started walking around and he started growing stronger and he used muscles that he hadn't been using before. And see, when we get the Word, get in the Word, we get up and we take up our bed. We get out of the rut and we begin to grow. And then you know what? People sees it. And when he began to walk, I think people came up. Guess what happened? He started walking around that bed and people came up to him. And they said, man, aren't you that guy that was laying down that pool all that time? What in the world happened? He rose up, he got up, he took up. He walked, and guess what he's going to do now? He's going to talk. He got something to say, and you know what? People will listen to him because they knew. Tell me what happened. And see, they'll shut up long enough then to you to tell them. Man, this man named Jesus came up. He just said, take up your bed and walk, man. And I walked. I couldn't believe it. This is what Jesus Christ did in my life. That's what happens to us. That's what happened to us. And he's got a testimony, and that's what God wants us. And I said this a lot of times, you know what? So many people that are in churches, they say they're saved, they're church members and all that. They don't have anything to say about Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus hadn't done nothing in their life. Huh? They hadn't got saved in the first place. They have nothing to say. I can't talk about Jesus. Listen, man, all the other stuff that goes on in the world, we Twitter and tweet and text and tell everybody about it and run our mouths, and you want to be the first one to tell everybody that you hear the news about whatever. And Jesus Christ saved you from hell and you don't have nothing to say? Uh-uh. I think if he does, he will. And so he knew. Now he could talk. His walk led to his talk. It led to his witness. Let me ask you this in closing here tonight. Spiritually speaking, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Are you going to lay there on your crutch, lay there on your bed for a whole nother year? If you want to be made whole, then get up, take up, and walk. That's all you got to do. Get up, take up, and walk. Heavenly Father.